Let's read together 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In this chapter, believers are exhorted not to cause offense in anything and not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Let's begin by reading the first two verses of this chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, with some background notes. What does the Apostle Paul mean in verse 1 when he says, we also urge you or plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain? Does he mean that the Corinthian believers could lose their salvation? Well, he can't mean that because it would contradict other clear scriptures that teach the eternal security of the believer. Well, does Paul mean by this statement that a number of those at Corinth in the Corinthian church were not true believers because they had gone along with the false teaching of the Judaizers who had penetrated the church? Now, that is a possibility. But let me suggest to you another interpretation which is held by a number of good commentaries on 2 Corinthians. In this view, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6 are still part of the message of reconciliation that began in verse 20 of chapter 5. Remember, there were no chapter divisions in the original letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. At the end of chapter 5, we had the great truth presented that we have been reconciled to God. Not just forgiven of our sins, but reconciled to God. That is, brought back into a wonderful and harmonious relationship of friendship and fellowship with God. Look at verses 18 and 19 of chapter 5 once again. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Now as believers, we see that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What is our message? The message we preach is in verses 20 and 21 of chapter 5, and in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6 in this view. So verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6 is not saying that the Corinthian Christians were in danger of receiving the grace of God in vain. No, in this view, it is part of the message of reconciliation that we preach to unbelievers who need to be reconciled to God. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. In other words, get saved. Be saved. In verse 2, Paul quotes from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 8, which in context is a prophecy of the resurrection of the Messiah who would be rejected by Israel. What Paul is saying here is that that day has come because Christ has been resurrected, and this is now part of our message of reconciliation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I trust that this is part of the message that we all preach to our unsaved friends and colleagues. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Doctrinal point number one, believers should not offend unbelievers. Believers should not offend unbelievers. Verses 3 through 10. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. In these verses, Paul moves on from the message of reconciliation to the way that message is to be communicated. In communicating the wonderful message of reconciliation to this unbelieving world, we are not to bring discredit on the ministry by offending people. Now, we are not talking here about stumbling younger or weaker believers. No, the subject here is offending unbelievers. For example, at the office Christmas party, where all your colleagues are unbelievers, don't disrupt the festivities by shouting out that everyone here is going to hell unless you come to know Christ and the real meaning of Christmas. That would be true, but highly offensive. How much better to build relationships with these people and maybe send each one of them just the right Christmas card that contains the gospel? Now, I chose an extreme example. It's not always easy not to offend unbelievers because the world does not want to hear about Christ. And as a result of this attitude, all of the reactions and conditions that Paul describes here in verses 4 through 10, committed Christians will experience as they seek to communicate the message of reconciliation. There will be afflictions and hardships and distresses and beatings and imprisonments and tumults and labors and sleeplessness and hunger, verses 4 and 5. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. Now we'll see in chapter 11 that Paul describes some of these experiences from his own life. But in spite of all these hardships, we are to continue in purity and patience and knowledge and kindness and love, verse 6, so that we do not offend and so that the ministry is not discredited. And remember what we have going for us, verse 7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. We have the truth. We have the power of God. We have the Holy Spirit. And we have spiritual armor and weapons. Read Ephesians 6 in this connection. In verses 8 through 10, we see that in the ministry, there will always be ups and downs, mountaintops and valleys, honor and dishonor, good reports and bad reports. One day being labeled as having the truth, the next day being labeled as a deceiver, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Illustration. You know, I remember when I was working with teenagers in the Young Life ministry. I was honored by some unbelieving parents. I was despised by other unbelieving parents, and even attacked by other unbelieving parents. All in the same day. Another day at the office. This is the way it is in the ministry. Put down but not put out. Sorrowing and rejoicing at the same time. Not having much in this world but an heir of heaven. This is the way it is in the ministry. Expect it to be this way. Don't complain and don't do anything to discredit the ministry. Believers should not offend unbelievers. Doctrinal point number 2. Believers should not be yoked together with unbelievers. Believers should not be yoked together with unbelievers. Verses 14 through 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Verse 14 obviously applies to the unequal yoke between a believer and an unbeliever in marriage. But it also applies to business partnerships and fraternal organizations and any close relationships where you make personal commitments that would require you to compromise in your faith. Now, why is this separation so important? The next few verses tell us. It is because there are two camps or realms, and they are opposed to one another, and there is no middle ground between them. And even though you might wrongly think that you can find some neutral ground, there is no common ground, there is no middle ground between these two camps. The believer is in Christ's kingdom, the unbeliever is in Satan's kingdom. One kingdom is righteousness and light. The other kingdom is unrighteousness and darkness. You cannot be in both kingdoms. And to be yoked to someone in the kingdom of darkness is unthinkable and unworkable and wrong. Now, Paul had already covered the case of marriage between a believer and an unbeliever in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In most of these cases, salvation took place after the couple was married. There is not to be any divorce in these mixed marriages. But unmarried believers should not marry unbelievers. In verses 16 through 18, Paul quotes the Old Testament scriptures and exhorts all believers to separate from the evil of this world. Notice this is not teaching salvation from fellow believers, and it is not teaching isolation from unbelievers. No, it is teaching separation from the evil of this world. So these verses should certainly help us determine what we do and what we see and what we read for entertainment. So doctrinal point number two was believers should not be yoked together with unbelievers. And now for practical application from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's put the ball in our fellow believers' court. Let's put the ball in our fellow believers' court. Let's go back to verses 11 through 13. For this practical application. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Paul assured the Corinthians that even though he had to rebuke them and exhort them because of their problems, he still loved them as always. He was like a parent to them, and they were like his children. Just as barriers to happy fellowship between children and good parents are generally of the children's own making, so Paul says that if there were any barriers to their fellowship, it was on their side. His heart was open to them. He held no grudges. The ball was in their court. You know, this is a good practice for us as well. Let's do all that we can to settle any differences between us and fellow believers. Let's put the ball in our fellow believers' court.